So, we want to start in 2 Corinthians this morning, 2:10-11.
Sister Rachel, you can go ahead and take your mask.
Oh, thank you. I'm just glad you reminded me. Oh, I can hardly breathe. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:10-11, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it. For your sakes forgave it I, it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. So the message this morning is knowing Satan's devices. And I realized at the end of the day yesterday that I had been fighting Satan all day. But I do not remember one time rebuking him through the day. I prayed. I asked for guidance. I looked over my life. I talked to the Lord. I don't remember one time that I did that. And you know, that's how we can be sometimes. We can forget that we have an enemy. And we can forget that there's something coming against us. And that we need to fight against him many times. And so we're not ignorant of his devices. So we want to try to expose a few of the enemy's devices this morning and pray for us. Ephesians 6:11-12. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles, the trickery, the plots, the plans, the deception. The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, there is a realm that Satan operates in. It is a spiritual realm. There is also the realm that God operates in. God and Satan know each other there. They see each other there. They understand each other there. We are the ones that are not in that realm. We feel the effects of that realm. We feel the effects of when the Lord speaks to us in a spiritual way. We also feel the effects of when the enemy speaks to us in his spiritual realm and the way he operates. It says we have to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have to stand against it. It's not just a passive thing like I did yesterday. It's not passive. It's not just, you know, seeking the Lord. No, we have to do some warfare also. We have to fight against the one that is coming against us. We have to fight against him. It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not people. It's not the people around us. It's not any of the human beings in this earth that are the problem. It's Satan working in them or through them or around them that give problems. It is not them in particular. But it says, but against principalities. In other words, places where Satan rules and powers. He has authority. There's some authority that Satan has in his realm with his things. Rulers of darkness. It's just the enemy and all of his minions, all of his spirits, where he sends them out at will to torment and torture and confuse and whatever else he can do. He sends them out to do a work for him. And against his spiritual wickedness in high places, the evil purposes. See, Satan has a purpose. He has a purpose. His purpose is to destroy every man. Every woman, everyone, he wants to destroy them. Why? Because he is against God. God created them, he wants to destroy them. And that is, it's just a simple good and evil approach. That's what we're talking about here today. So his desire is to do it. He has evil purposes. And we need to realize it's easy for us if we have a situation in our life with family, friends, neighbors, work, whatever, we can understand and see somebody that is against us, And we know to walk carefully there, and we know to be careful, and we try to, you know, step around this and step around that. We try to be careful when we know that we have an enemy that is after us. Uh-huh. But we forget that the enemy, the worst enemy that we can have, is in the spiritual realm.
Right.
And he's dealing with us every day. And if we aren't aware, we're going to fall for some of his trickery. We're going to fall for some of his principalities. We're going to fall for his power, his authority. We're going to give into it. Give into his authority. In John 8:42-44, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. This is Jesus talking.
Yeah.
Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own.
Yes.
For he is a liar and the father of it.
Yes.
He said, you are of your father, the devil.
Yes.
Now we know that God is our true father. He created us.
Yes.
But he created us to be his creation. He created us to worship him, to be with him, to hear him, to follow him, to adore him, for him to have us to love and us to love him. That's what he created us for. But the enemy has come in on the scene.
Yes.
And when Adam and Eve gave in to him in the garden, he became their father.
Yes. Right.
He became the one that started working in their lives. He became
right.
the one that they listened to. He became the one
yes.
that they followed and worked after, and that they received things from him, and they went forward with those things, and they got it all from their father. See, we are either serving one or we're serving the other. There is no in between.
Right.
There's no in between. I know there's a lot of people that want to say, I'm a good person.
Uh-huh.
And I am. And no doubt you are
right.
a good person in many things.
Uh-huh.
But if you're not serving the Lord, you are serving Satan. And he is going to use you to do something evil. He is going to use you for evil in your life, evil in somebody else's life. That's what he is going to do. He is the father of it.
Yes.
And he is your father if you have not chosen
yes.
between. We're born innocent, so to speak, at birth.
Yes.
But we begin to learn things. We're taught things. We begin to understand things. We begin to see things. Everything that we learn, we are taught by somebody else.
Amen. It's true.
Yes.
So, depending on what environments we grow up in, depending on who our parents were, mm-hmm. depending on what motivated them, then that is what we learn in life.
Yes.
So, most people, not everyone, but most people learn to let Satan be their father.
Yes.
Because the environment they're in is letting Satan rule.
Yes.
Now, when we're serving God and we're fighting against that and we're bringing children up in a Christian home,
yes.
it's different.
Yes.
But Satan is still there trying to thwart them. He's still there trying to get into their minds.
Yes.
He's still there trying to make them disobedient to their parents.
That's true.
He's still there. We don't want to give him any... We don't want to let him continue to be our father.
Amen.
And it says he's a murderer. In other words, he's out to kill. He wants to kill and destroy us. He is not in any, he is not for us. But you know, when we were little children, the enemy used to talk to us, and you may not remember everything that he said, and you may not have attributed it to him.
Right.
You may have thought it was in your own mind. But you remember when mother spanked you or you got in trouble? You remember what happened? You went off in your room, and what were you saying? Oh, I hate her, and I'm this and I'm that, and I'm not going to talk to her anymore, and I'm going to be mean to her, and, you know, she's not going to do this to me again. Where do you think all of that was coming from? Your mother didn't teach you that. Where did you get that? See, your enemy the father of the wicked,
yes,
began to talk to your mind, and you began to just agree with him. Uh-huh. You just agreed with him. It made you feel better,
yes,
to have somebody on your side, see? And then there was that other voice. You remember the other voice that said, you shouldn't do that. Ah, don't do that. You're going to get in trouble.
Right.
You remember that voice? That was God.
Yeah.
And whoever we yield ourselves to, that's the one we belong to.
That's so.
Yeah. So how many times did we yield ourselves to the one that was out to kill us? He's a murderer. He never did abide in the truth.
No.
He speaketh a lie. He's a liar and the father of it. He,
yes,
is the father of all lies.
Yes, he is.
In the garden, there was no lies until Satan told them.
Right.
There weren't any. God and Adam and Eve talked in the cool of the day. They talked about truth. They talked about all manner of things, but there was no lies. The first lie ever told was when Satan said, you shall not surely die.
Right.
He was a father of lies.
Yes.
And ever since then, men have found it hard to always tell the truth. Why? Because in that spiritual realm where the enemy and all of his imps live, they are busy working on us each and every day. He has authority in this life because of the sinfulness here. Because of sin on the earth is why, where he got his authority. Was because men agreed. They agreed. Just like us as little children, we agreed with that voice. We became sinful. We became full of disobedience. We became full of hatred and evil thoughts because we agreed with it. So we have to realize that this enemy that we have to know his devices. We have to understand where he's coming from. We have to understand in what kind of circumstances he's working. We have to see the different ways that he can approach us and come to us and bother us and hurt us in reality. In Luke 22:31-34, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, and that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now this was Jesus talking to Peter right before he was taken and captured by the soldiers and right before his crucifixion and trial and all of these things. And they were in the garden and he had been praying. But anyway, they went to the garden. After this was said, this was said on their way. I believe it was on the way to the garden. This was said. He desires to sift you as wheat. He was letting them know that the weapons of our warfare, no. He was letting them know that he had prayed for him.
Yes.
That he had prayed for him. And that he knew already what was going to happen.
Yes.
He understood it already. He was not confined to the kind of space that we have in our mental capacity. We cannot see the future, but Jesus could.
Yes.
He already knew. And he said he had already prayed for him. Is that a comfort?
Yeah.
To know that God sees you and that he's already prayed for you.
Yeah.
Jesus has already prayed for you. He's already stood at the right hand of the Father interceding for you because he sees where you're headed and he sees,
yeah,
what's happening.
Yeah.
He's already doing it. He's already interceding. And it says that your faith fail not. But he said, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted. In other words, when you come to yourself, when you get back in line, when you ask for forgiveness and you come back begging God to forgive you for what you just did, just know, go out and help your brethren because they're going to be in trouble too.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be in trouble this day. Everybody's going to have some problems. And we all do now.
Yeah.
And he said, but I'm ready to go to prison and to death. Do you know that many times we can have understandings in our mind, and we think that we can, we think we are so strong.
Yes.
And that Jesus is trying to tell us, listen, you have a little problem here. You need a little help on this line. You need a little something here. Because if you don't get a hold of it, Satan is desiring here to sift you as wheat. We know what sifting of wheat is. They would take the wheat on pieces of cloth or whatever, and they would throw it up in the air, and the heavy grain would fall back into the cloth, but the light chaff parts would blow away. That's sifting the wheat.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, the devil's trying to blow you away.
Right.
He's trying to take over and do something here that you don't know what is happening, but I already see it. I'm already praying for you.
Amen.
And he even told him what he was going to do. Peter didn't believe it.
No.
Peter did not believe it. You know, the Lord tries to tell us sometimes
what
we're going to do. He tries to tell us. He tries to warn us. He tries to open up our understanding. And we have such an idea in our mind, I would never do that. I would never so-and-so. I will, you know, do this, or I will do that. Or we have all these things in our mind, but we haven't faced it yet. We don't know what we might do when we face things. We need to look to the Lord each and every day, because we cannot predict the future. We cannot say, this is what I will do. We can say, if you help me, Lord, this is what I will do.
Amen.
But we can't just say. But he said it. He said, I'm ready to go to prison with you. I'm ready to die with you. But you know what Peter thought? It starts up here. He thought he was willing to fight, you see.
Right.
He was willing to fight.
Right.
Because he took up his sword and he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. When they came to get him, he was ready to fight.
Yes.
Because he was willing to die by fighting.
Right.
And he was willing, if they so to speak, won the battle and everything, and they took him and put him in prison and all, he was willing to suffer all of that, but
right.
He was going to fight first.
Right.
That was what he was going to do. But this is the point. This is the point. The weapons of our warfare, they aren't carnal. They aren't carnal. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons aren't carnal. He was willing to fight a carnal battle.
Right.
He was willing to face a carnal punishment, prison, or death. But only after he had reacted carnally. He could not fathom the non-resistance.
Right.
He couldn't fathom that. He couldn't get a hold of that. That wasn't in him yet. It goes on to say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, the devil uses our mind.
Yes.
It says casting down imaginations. How many things have you imagined this week?
Oh.
How many things? How many times has the enemy come into your mind and says, this might happen?
Yes.
How many times he says, if this happens, this is what you should do? How many times has he presented to you the worst possible outcomes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you notice that you don't ever hardly get the best possible outcomes presented to your mind? Do you ever notice that? Do you notice? Because you know why? Because God is not obligated to tell us the future. He says, just trust me as you go, and everything will be all right.
Uh-huh.
So he's not obligated to say, well, this is going to happen tomorrow, so be ready and do this and do that. He doesn't have to do that, because when tomorrow comes, he will give you what you need because you're looking to him. But Satan can't do that. So Satan has to give you scenarios. He has to trouble your mind. He has to use your imagination. He has to talk to you and present things to you. He has to say, you know, you get a little pain in your side. Oh, appendicitis. Why is it never growing pains? Remember what we used to tell our children? They would come in and say, my leg hurts, this hurts, that hurts. Oh, it's growing pains, we said.
Yeah.
And we set them on outside.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
It's never growing pains with us anymore. Or it's never getting old pains. Or it's never this pain. So this kind. It's always, oh, heart attack, stroke. It's appendicitis. It's cancer. It's this. It's that. And all of these things are presented to our minds. Who do you think is bringing those things? Who do you think is bringing all the negative thoughts that are put forth in this earth, even at this time? And all of the political unrest, everything. What do you think all of the negativity is coming from?
Amen.
It is not coming from God.
No.
God has a way to handle things and do things that is far above the human.
That is so true.
But that's where it's coming from. He uses our imagination.
Yes.
And we need to realize that when we start getting those thoughts, oh, must be this. Do you know that God would never say to you, oh, it must be something?
Right.
He already knows what it is.
Right.
He would just tell you.
That's true.
And you would just know without a shadow of a doubt, oh, yeah, that's what it is. It's only when it's presented in the if form, could be, might be, all these, it's all Satan's devices to keep our minds churning, to keep our minds upset. You know, walk into a room and everybody quits talking. They were talking about you. Where does that come from?
Right.
Why do you think you're so important?
Right.
But it was all about you.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? Where does that come from? See, he's trying to divide. He's trying to divide and conquer.
Right.
So he's trying to get you to not trust them and get them to not trust you.
Uh-huh.
You see, so he has to start all of these wars and rumors of wars and everything. He has to start them in your mind first.
Right.
He's always busy presenting his case.
Yeah.
It is always defeating. It is always worst case scenario. It is always negative.
Yep.
Satan and his imps are not positive.
No.
God is positive. He tells us in his word, do this and this will happen. And if you do that, this will happen. And I will be with you till the end. I will do this. I promise you this. I have brought you this far. I will take you first. It's all positive. When you hear the other side, you can know that it's Satan. It is Satan dealing with us. We have to understand how he works to be able to thwart him.
Amen.
We have to understand. So it says, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, we have a lot of those high things, don't we?
Yes,
we have science, and we have, you know, philosophers, and we have people that just don't believe in God at all, and all these, we have all of these voices crying out in our world. All of them. You know, we have to cast those down.
Amen.
You know that ever so often, I can confess ever so often that Satan will say to me, I'll just be doing something, or doing housework or something, he'll say, you know this, it's all just fake, right? After all these years, why did he do that?
Right.
Because it works.
Yes.
See, it works with people. It works with them. He knows, you know, maybe somebody has just read an article about scientific something and something and something.
Uh-huh.
They've just read an article. This is why this can't be true in the Bible. Or this is why, you know, the religious world is off or wrong about this. And then he presents to your mind, you know, it's all not true, right? See, he works on false ideas and false knowledge. And he works and gets on top of that and begins to present to your mind. So you have to cast that down. You have to get rid of that. If it exalts against the knowledge of God, you have to cast it out.
Amen.
You cannot listen to it even for a moment.
Yes. Thank the Lord.
Because the devil will try to make sense with it.
Yes. Help me, Lord. Thank
and it says bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Oh,
wow.
If you could count every thought you had in one day. I can't even imagine what they would all be. Because we must think thoughts, probably 3 or 4 thoughts every minute of every day, if not even more than that. Because you know how your mind thinks one thing, and then it runs a rapid chain reaction to somewhere else? You know that the devil knows how to captivate your mind in one thing. You know how it is. You'll be thinking about the most innocent of things. You'll be thinking about the most, and all of a sudden, you're off over here and you say, oh, wait a minute, I shouldn't even be thinking about, how did I get there? Because I wasn't bringing all my thoughts in captivity. I was just letting it run its course. And so I think about this friend, and then I think, oh, what, but that's what happened. Remember when that happened with your friend? And then, oh, remember this and remember that. Uh-huh. And here you are all thinking about something that happened years ago that somebody did you wrong, and you're starting to feel things come up inside. And how did you get there? By thinking about your friend. And then letting your mind, instead of keeping it captivated, you let it just run. And the enemy is good at taking over minds that we just let run, that we just let go everywhere. It says, bring it into captivity. Yeah. Don't let your mind just run here and there and everywhere. You can't afford to do it, because Satan will slip something in. Every opportunity he gets, he will do that. But we know his devices. Yeah. See, we should know his devices.
That's right.
So we should be able to recognize them. You know how a person that has been a car mechanic for many, many years, he can just kind of look at a toolbox, and you can shut the lid, and he can name all the different tools that were in there, because he recognizes them really quickly.
Yeah. Right.
He recognizes them. These are Satan's tools. We should be able, we have been, how long have we been saved now? We should be able to recognize his tools when we see them. We should take note of it. We should do something about it in our spirit. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. He's a killer on the prowl.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have to resist him.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be resisted. You know, many times, what scares prowlers away is resistance. In other words, we've all heard the stories. You know, somebody's at somebody's window, or they're trying to get in or something, and somebody in the house will shout out, you know, something about, you know, yell like they're alone. They might yell to a man and say, John, John, somebody's at the window. You see what I'm saying? What are they doing? They're making it harder for him. Now he's confused, and he's not quite sure about what, he's not able to accomplish everything. In the woods, they say if you meet up with a bear, you're supposed to get bigger than he is. And you're supposed to, in other words, you put out your hands, you stand tall, you get aggressive, you look on your face, and you say, get out of here, you don't belong here, you this, you that, and everything. And bears will turn and walk away from you when you do that.
Okay.
Now, of course, there's always a chance. But there's always a chance. But the idea is, we're dealing with a devil that cannot personally touch us and hurt us physically. He can only hurt us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, not physically. So we can get as big and as aggressive as we want to get with the devil. And there's anything he can do about it, but he will have to walk away. He will have to, because we've resisted him. In James 4:6-8. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. He giveth more grace. He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Oh, dear ones, we're going to have to get down low before God. We're going to have to realize we are nothing, we can do nothing without God's help. Everything that is accomplished outside of God is mostly going to dissolve. Only the things that are done for Christ and for God are going to last.
Yeah.
And so all of these things, we have to get into a humble state. We have to realize that God knows everything. You know how we look at people sometimes and we say, that person thinks they know everything. Well, God does know everything. He understands it all. He sees it all. He knows what's going to happen next. He knew what brought it on from the past. He understands it all. We're grasping to try to understand. But what he's saying to us is, you don't have to understand everything. I'll just give you grace for everything you go through when you need it. You don't have to understand the things, everything. God, I will give you grace, but you have to be humble. It says, submit yourself before God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Oh, we can do a lot of resisting sometimes, but he doesn't run away, does he? It says, submit yourself to God. Submission is something that we do. It's a humility before God. It is a coming to him and saying to him that I do not have the power on my own. It's submitting to his power. It's submitting to his authority over me. I can't have a lot of things in my life that I'm not submitting to his authority in and expect that the devil's going to run from me. He isn't going to run from me. I have to submit to God first. Yes. I have to give him my life first. Yes. I have to let him have everything first. I have to let him teach me things every day. I have to let him guide me and tell me what I can do and what I can't. I have to submit to him. Yes. Total submission. When I do that and I resist the devil, yes, he flees from me. Why? Yes. Because I have all of that authority behind me.
That's true.
I get my authority through my humility and submission to Jesus. That's where I get it. You can't have it any other way. You can't have authority over the devil through any other means than a humility before God. And then it says, draw nigh to God. After you have resisted the devil, you've submitted yourself, you've resisted the devil, it says, now draw nigh to God. In other words, get closer to him. We cannot fight a battle with Satan and go on living in the same place we were. We have to learn something and gain it and do different.
Amen.
We can't just stay there. We have to draw nigh to God. Move closer to him. Understand and let him work with us more. That's what we have to do. And it says when we do that, it says, he draws nigh to us.
Yes,
see, when we draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to us.
Yes.
We are in underneath the whole authority of God.
That's right.
When we do that.
Yes. Praise God.
It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See, this is the problem when we're living outside of God's protection, outside of drawing nigh to him, outside of his grace, and we're not Christians. We're not letting him have control of our life. It's, our hearts aren't pure. We're double-minded. We don't know how to do things. We don't know how to operate. We have a lot of problems and trials and tests that come our way, but we don't know how to handle it. And there, we see that all around us, don't we? The suicide rates are so high. Why? People don't know how to handle life. They don't know how to handle life. Not all of those people. There are people in worse conditions than they are. But the enemy has deceived their minds to think that I cannot live with this any longer.
Right, right.
And yet there are people in so much worse condition that are living and functioning and being productive. It's all a trick of Satan in people's minds.
Right.
But if they don't have God to draw nigh to, if they don't have this to be able to yield yourself to God and let him have control, then of course Satan is going to come in and tempt them to take their life. He's going to tempt them to do it. He's a murderer. That's his way of murdering us in the most a profound way here on this earth. He's taking their life away so that they have no opportunity now to come to the Lord. They have no opportunity because their life is gone. It's been wasted. Oh, God is in people's minds. Since this COVID all started, they're talking about all of the mental anguish that people have suffered.
Yes.
From being separated from loved ones and from having loved ones die that they couldn't even be with them in their last moments. And all of the grief and the suffering and all that has happened. And the mental anguish of the people. And it's hard for them. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. Before the enemy saw. The enemy has seen. This is a good time to attack. See, before they had their friends and they had their fun and they had this and they had that and they had all these things and everything. It was harder for Satan to get in there and work and try to get them all discouraged and upset and everything because they had things. But all these things got taken away. And so he was able to get in there and work. And he was able to work on their minds and get into their imaginations. Can you imagine? I would not have wanted to go through this time without the Lord. Because I can only imagine what the devil did to people's minds and their imaginations and what kind of torments they were in day and night for their fears and for all the things that were happening. In Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." Anytime that we are angry, we are giving place. See, we're giving place. Be careful. It's not that you can never experience anger. We can see things and hear things that anger us inside. Hear things that are of injustice and horrible things that have happened, and they can make you have somewhat of an anger.
Yes.
But there's a different kind of an anger that can emerge. The enemy will take any kind of deep emotion that you have, whether it's anger, whether it's love, whether it's seeking for love, whatever your emotion is, he will take it and try to work in your mind to get you imagining down paths that will take you the wrong way. It's why we have so many that don't believe in marriage anymore. The enemy has gotten into their minds and taken them down a path that is a destructive path. It is a place that does not provide security. It is a place that God intended for man to be. He intended for them to have husband and wife and marriage.
Amen.
He intended that. But the enemy, anything that God has brought to being, has brought forth, the enemy wants to destroy or to make it something else or to turn it into something else, to go against truth. See, there's no truth in it. So he goes against all these things. So it doesn't matter what is happening. It doesn't matter. The Lord knows how to help us resist the devil. He knows how to teach us about Satan's devices.
Yes, thank the Lord.
It says in James 3, 14 and 16. It says, "But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." Confusion, every evil work, wherever there's envy and strife. Is our world full of envy and strife? Is there bitter envy, strife in people's hearts? This wisdom came from somebody. And it tells us here who it came from. It is earthly, sensual, and devilish. This is where it came from. Anything that divides up God's creation comes from the devil. It comes from him. He wants to divide and conquer. He wants to have this people against this people. He wants to have it that way. That isn't God's way.
That
isn't what God does. That's what the enemy does.
Yeah.
So you can't have strife. You cannot be fighting. You cannot have a spirit of fighting with things. I know it's hard sometimes. You can hear things, and it just almost, you can feel it. You can feel the enemy just trying to get you to, you know.
True, help me, Lord.
You can feel it.
Yes.
It's just the enemy. You can resist that.
Amen.
You don't have to go there. You can turn to God. I was talking with one of my cousins, and we were talking about political things and this and that and the other. And he's not a Christian at all. And he was telling, you know, his side and everything. And I kept thinking, he has no biblical reference at all in anything. So, of course, he has no truth to back things up to. There's no truth there. It's just a lot of worldly wisdom and worldly this and worldly thoughts and worldly ideas. But there's no truth to back up against. But we have truth. In the Bible, we have truth. When it tells us, don't strive, we say, okay, I won't do that. And what happens? We become the peacemaker in the group.
Amen.
We become the one that shows everybody else how they should act. We are the one. See, this is the difference between error and truth. But we need to know Satan's devices.
Yes.
When there's a lot of strife and anger and things going on, it is the enemy of our souls
That's
doing
right.
this. He is doing it to everyone he can get a hold of. And we can't let him drag us into it.
Amen.
We cannot be dragged into it at all.
Well, I can pray.
It says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. It's not the author of confusion. That's what happened to me yesterday. I was confused all day long. And never once thought that it was the devil bringing confusion. You see how easy it is to forget that you have an enemy. How easy it is to be caught up in the way you're thinking about it and the way you're doing it and you're concerned and it's not coming and it's Saturday and it's almost Sunday and, you know, all these different things. Confusion on every hand. And not once did I think about it being caused by Satan himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was caught up in it. Up in the confusion. Anytime things are confusing, it is the enemy.
Amen.
Why? Because God is never confused.
Amen.
And he will help you not to be confused either. He speaks yay and yay and nay and nay. He speaks yes and no. There's no maybes. There's no in-betweens. He just speaks what he knows. And all of it is truth. So when we get all of these ideas and confusion and not knowing what to do going around in our head, then we can know that the devil is in there trying to confuse the matter.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? We draw nigh to God. We go to him. We ask him to clear up the confusion. We ask him to rebuke the devil. We resist the devil. We open up our heart and say, Lord, we know that you know everything. You know exactly how this should go. You know what I should say. You know what I shouldn't do, what I should do. You know all about this, Lord. Just show me. Just show me. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to think about it. You know, the Bible said in one place, don't think about what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
How many days have you wasted doing that?
That's so.
How many days have you wasted doing that? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Something happens, and you decide, well, you know, I need to talk to them. So you start working out the conversation in your mind.
Yes.
I'm going to tell them this, and I'm going to tell them that, and everything. And you're actually imagining what their response is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all to the good for you. It's never to the bad. It's never you start thinking about that, and you go, oh, I better not go there because they would do that. It's never like that. You have this whole scenario in your mind, how you're going to bring it forth. It's going to clear up everything. They're going to humble themselves. You're going to be right. It's going to be okay. That's what happens. But that isn't God. He said, don't think about those things.
Yes.
You don't have anything that you can do past this moment of time. We don't know if we'll go out of this building this morning.
That's right.
We don't know anything. We don't know if we'll get home.
Amen.
We don't know anything. And you think you're going to take all day to discuss in your mind a conversation, and it's going to work out just perfectly after you've done all of this. Now, if you prayed all day about the conversation, I would say you'd be ahead.
Oh, yes.
When you find yourself talking about all these things, it's time to pray. It's time to pray.
Amen.
Let the God lead you, guide you, and help you. You're going to need it.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 11, 13, and 14. For such are the false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan wants to be a god to you. He wants to give you, that's what happens in those little conversations we're having in our mind. He makes you the winner. He makes you the one that comes out on top. He makes you with the profound words. He puts that all in your mind. That's what he does. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Well, if you do it this way, this is what will happen. And he's lying. The whole time he's lying. He's the father of it. We all know in Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. He's leading them out of Egypt, and I'm taking you into a land that is full of idolatry and all manner of things, and you are not to follow what they do. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. They're talking about human sacrifice. In those nations, they would sacrifice their children to their idols.
Yes.
Or that useth divination, or observer of times, an enchanter, a witch, a charmer, a consulter of familiar spirits, a wizard, a necromancer. Why? Why should we not pay any attention to these things? For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Because of their abominations, the Lord drove them out and gave his people, God's people, the land. He did that for them. But it was because of what they were doing. We cannot be in any kind of context with the dark arts.
That's right.
The worship of the enemy. The worship of the devil. These are all things that the devil does. These are all the opposite of worshiping God. These are with familiar spirits and divination and observer kinds of chanters and all these things. They are delving into the dark side. They're delving into a spiritual side. But it is not God's spiritual. It is devil's spiritual. And he has all of these things available. He can tell you things. Why? Because he's going to do it to you tomorrow. He can tell you things. Oh, this person is going to leave you because he's been working on that person's mind, and you know that person's mind is already made up. He's leaving you. He already knows. He knows some of these things because he's been working in that realm. So people think they're getting their fortunes told. And all they're doing is submitting to the enemy and the ways that he wants to run their life.
Mm-hmm.
They can resist him and turn to God and change all of those things around.
Amen.
They don't have to listen to any of those things.
Right.
Because God said he would defend us and he would be there for us and he would help us and he would fix things and he would help us to do the right kinds of things in this life. He decides those things. So all of those are an abomination. All of them. And people play with these things.
Yes.
They play with them. They have games about them. They have video games about them. They have all manner of things about demons and witches and wizards and all of these things. And they play with the things that are of that spiritual realm that God said, these are an abomination.
That's right.
Our last scripture, Luke 10, 17 through 20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. These are the 70 sent out disciples 2 by 2 to go out and preach the word and heal the sick and cast out devils. And so they went out on their little missionary tours or whatever, and they came back, and this is what they said to him: "Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Some people think this is because Satan fell, was an angel, and he fell from heaven. But what Jesus is talking about here is that Satan has lost his seat. He was sitting in the hearts of men and women, and they were subject to him, and they were filled with devils, and he had taken up his seat and his place inside their hearts. And he said, because the devils are subject, he is like lightning fall from heaven. He's off his throne in those people's lives. His power has ended. Christ has come, and his power now has ended. His authority can no longer reign in the hearts and in the lives of men because Jesus came.
Amen.
And because he came, and now he sits on the throne of our hearts, the enemy has been cast out. He's fallen. He's not in that high exalted place anymore. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." That's talking about evil spirits. "And over all the power of the enemy." The enemy has power, dear ones.
Yeah, yeah.
He works in people's lives and gets them to do awful, terrible, horrible, sinful things every day.
Yeah.
You hear about it in the news every day.
Yeah.
That is Satan working in people's minds. Nothing. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing can hurt you. You have changed allegiances. You are no longer in the realm of the devil and all that he can do. You have moved, and you have gone to the realm of God. You are in his kingdom now. You are before him and worshiping him instead of worshiping in all the fleshly things and all the things of the world and all the things that the devil tried to get you to do, all the sinful, horrible things that some of us would not ever tell you what all we were wrapped up in before we got saved. They're so horrible. But God has changed it.
Amen.
He's sitting there now. Satan fell. We kicked him out. And the disciples were so happy that the devils were subject. And he said, oh no, he says, this is the most important thing to know. It's not about the devils being subject to you. It's about you being saved. It's about you becoming a Christian. It's about you making the change. It's about you kicking the devil out of your heart and putting God inside. It's about you doing that. It's about salvation.
Yes.
Don't be happy the devils are subject. The only reason they're subject to you is because you're Christians. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do anything. So God is calling on us to realize that it's more important for our name to be written in heaven, for us to be saved and Christians, rather than the devils are subject. But I tell you what, we have taken his authority from him. He no longer has authority over us. And we have authority to actually rebuke him and bind him on the behalf of others. That's what they were doing out there, casting out devils. And all of a sudden, we have the authority and the power. Why? Because we are God's now. We are in God's hands now. We have kicked Satan off of the throne of our heart.
Yes.
We have put Jesus in.
Yes.
He is there. Now we have the authority of the heavenly realm.
Yes.
Where God lives.
Amen.
The authority that has always been able to cast Satan out.
Yes.
Now we have it. And we don't have to be subject to him confusing us all day. We don't have to be subject to him bringing all these thoughts to our heads. We don't have to be subject to all the evil, bad things that he says are going to happen, the what ifs and maybe, and we don't have to be subject anymore. We are free. We have been delivered from Satan and all of his imps. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We understand where he works, how he operates, how he gets a hold of us, how he works in our minds. We understand it perfectly. And we do not have to give in to him any place, any time, anywhere.
Thank you.